Hollow Writer, Good Writing, AI Slop and the Dragon by Linda Carroll from February this year. Okay. Now, I thought what we'd do is have a go at trying to improve this article using some of the basic principles that I outline in Foundations of Writing. Okay. Now, obviously, I don't have time to go through all of the lessons, that I do on the full course. Obviously, I'm doing promo code COOL at the moment, so it's a good time to pick up the course. And I'm kind of, at the end of this, if you're interested, I'd encourage you to pick it up. But if I have a look here at what's on there, just remind myself. So the way the course works, I start off by covering parts of speech. Now, parts of speech is nouns, verbs, adverbs, how to construct a sentence. It's too hot not to have the fan on. How to construct a sentence, how to identify. So I start off really, really quite thoroughly going through the various different parts of speech and how to analyze any sentence, like the boy kicks the ball. Okay, the boy is the subject, the kicks is the verb, the ball is the object. So ideally you should be able to pick out those parts of speech in any sentence, no matter how complex that sentence gets. In the second part of Foundations of Writing, I go through syntax. That is, how do you, punctuate? How do you use grammar? How do you put together a sentence? How do you put together sentences that flow, make sense, cohere, build a vivid mind in the reader's, build a vivid picture in the reader's mind, and so on and so forth. And so syntax is also an extremely important part of writing clearly and writing well. In the third part, Foundations of Writing, I look at punctuation. Right, exactly how do you use a comma, exactly how do you use a semicolon, a colon, the much maligned M dash, the much abused by AI M dash now. How do you when should you start a new sentence and so on and so forth. You'd be surprised how many people don't know those things. One of the most basic points is that every sentence needs to have a main verb. If it's got a main verb, every sentence therefore should have a subject and an object. If you are looking at a sentence that where you cannot pick out the subject, verb, and object, you probably don't have a sentence. Then I look at style and talk about principles of good writing. Now I'll be clear, I am an advocate of plain English. People like Ezra Pound, George Orwell, The Economist magazine back in the 1930s were all very big on concrete writing, plain English, and the principles therein. I have always thought that is the best prose style, non-fiction prose style, is the style of George Orwell. And I advocate the same basic principles as those guys. And then I look at common mistakes. Okay, so for the purposes of this exercise, for the purposes of what I want to do in this webinar, how can I give you a kind of flavor of the best tips from the course without obviously giving away the whole course? And let me just go through a couple of principles that I'm going to be looking to do to improve, or as we improve this article together. Okay. I would say the first principle of good writing is economy. Economy. What does economy mean? It means you want to try to get to a clear meaning of what you're trying to say in as few words as possible, using the least amount of words humanly possible, you want to convey your message. So the ideal elegant writing style gets you there as quickly as possible in as few words possible. Okay, that's the first principle. Second principle is never use a fancy word where a simple word would do. Never use a fancy word where a simple word might do. You might also say, do not use the Latinate where you could use the Anglo-Saxon. Okay, don't use your $72,000, million-dollar word that you've learned in university, your jargon that makes you so excited. Don't use that word if you could say it in a much, much easier way. Because the truth is, nobody thinks that you're more clever, right? If I came onto a stream or if I came on here and I said, well, the thing that's causing me real problem is that many of the points you're making are pusillanimous. I mean, let's forget the fact that I can't even say the last word because it's so long, okay? You could just say it in a much simpler way. You could just get there in fewer words. You know, how would you say it in everyday life? Something like that. You're causing me difficulty. You're causing me grief. You get there simpler. I'm using Anglo-Saxon words and you're getting there in four words instead of trying to affect, you know, a kind of educated manner, because it's affected. Somebody said, do the opposite of Russell Brand. I mean, I would say yes. And I know people disagree, but there was a guy who used to be on television called Will Self, who loved the kind of, you know, the feel of these long Latinate words, and he'd play with unusual words, okay? The problem is that you want 99% of people to get what you're saying like that. And in most scenarios, you're not Will Self trying to play with the music of language on national television, or Russell Brand, who's a comedy act, let's not forget. What you are most of the time is somebody who's trying to convey information discreetly to other people. So by writing plainly and clearly, you're doing them a service. You're doing them a service by using the plain English as opposed to the fancy, right? Instead of highlighting the word, pressing shift and F7, pulling up the thesaurus and picking out, you know, a fancier alternative, you're doing everybody a service by using the normal, everyday version of the word. And, you know, I've given hundreds and hundreds of presentations and lectures. I've written 10 books at this point and hundreds of articles. I have never once met someone who wasn't grateful that I explained things in such a way that they grasped it immediately, as opposed to having to look up what the hell I was talking about. Never once. And the reason that I know this is because I know myself that when I'm reading a book and I haven't got the faintest clue what the person's going on about, I find it very frustrating. And it's a barrier. It's a barrier to reading certain people like Jacques Derrida and Martin Heidegger and various other people, because they just can't say what they mean. Because they're, you know, you're using all these bizarre language formulations, which doesn't process, can't get what they're saying. And a lot of what I did when I was first kind of starting out as a student was basically translating all this highfalutin garbage continental theory into plain English so that people could understand what they were saying. And many of them, the French philosophers in particular, once you state what they mean clearly in normal everyday language, they don't sound that profound anymore. So it's actually a beeline to, you know, being able to state the thing clearly is a sign of higher intelligence, not lower intelligence, because there's no hiding. there's no BS. There's nowhere to hide. And I was always struck by, you know, the very old-fashioned Oxford and Cambridge types that you'd come across had no time whatsoever for jargon. They were very plain-spoken, and they got to the, they cut to the wick of things very quickly. Anyway, let's carry on. Yes, Thomas Carlyle is the exception that proves every rule. But Thomas Carlyle, of course, I mean, you know, once you master the basics, then you might think about, you know, writing like Carlyle. But, you know, I would recommend not trying to write like Carlyle until you master the basics. What else did I want to cover before we try to improve Linda Carroll's article here? So we want to get there economically, and we don't want to use fancy words where simple words might do. We want to be grammatically correct. Third thing, obviously. Fourth thing, we want to, wherever possible, write active sentences as opposed to passive sentences. What's an active sentence? The boy kicks the ball. What's a passive sentence? The ball was kicked by the boy. And for whatever reason, passive voice, they call it, creeps in because people think that it sounds objective. They try to hide I. This is a disease that many people catch from the sciences and from the social sciences. Okay, it's a convention that built up to try to, you know, lay claim to objectivity in science. But it means that people come up with all sorts of formulations just to avoid saying I or my. And this was a particular bugbear of mine when I was lecturing. And I would always say to students, I would say, look, it is the opinion of this essay that is an extremely clunky formulation. Not only is it, does it look ugly on the page, but you've taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different words to say what you can arrive at in two. How can you arrive there in two? My thesis is, or the thesis of this paper is, or simply, I conclude, or I posit, two words. Because the paper cannot think. The paper cannot do anything. You're the one who has the idea. You're the one who is the doer of the action. It's you. So you have to take ownership of it. So all of the passive voice stuff hides the doer. You'll find that politicians or companies often hide behind the passive voice. The classic one is when somebody's messed up in politics, and the leader will come out and they'll say, it's time to admit, they'll say. You can imagine Tony Blair saying this. They'll come out and they'll say, rather than saying, I am sorry, I made a mistake. I am sorry, I made a mistake. Words you'll never hear a politician say. What they're more likely to do is they'll come out and they'll say, it is time to admit mistakes were made. It is time to admit mistakes were made. So this is the language of the politician. It's also the language of train companies. You'll never hear a train company say, we're sorry that we're delayed. We just messed up. You know, they'll say something like, there has been a delay. Leaves were on the track, or, you know, they'll say something like that to hide the doer of the action. So you should always ask the question, who, right? Who is the doer of the action? And if you always write in nice, clear, active English, this will work. I think what I'll do, guys, because I think there is a cap on the amount of people in the webinar, what I'll do is I'll put this as a kind of freebie on the if you're watching it, I'll stick it up on the site as a freebie so you can catch it yourselves. Okay. All right. So that's the fourth principle that I'm going to be looking to do. And the fifth one really is just little elegant style choices. Okay. There are a few little things. For example, I don't like ending sentences on a preposition. The preposition is in, on, at. We want to try to smuggle those into the middle of the sentence. So we end on a kind of flourish. This is just a stylistic choice. But it's one it's one where I think it's worth it a lot of the time. A lot of the time it's worth it. So let's have a look then at this Linda Carroll article, and we'll see if we can try to fix it together. Now, those of you who are in the chat, right, those of you who are in the chat, you can try to help to see what issues there are. Now, Linda Carroll, I've already read this article, I can tell you, she's going to have some problem, like with a lot of people, they'll have some problems, but not others. I don't think Linda Carroll has got the problem where she uses fancy words where simple ones would do. She has got some other issues, which we'll see. So she starts her article. Right, let's just work on this first paragraph. What I'll do is I'll paste this into Word so we can work on it together. Right, we'll just pull up Word. I'll stick it into Word. Right, and we'll work on it together in a moment, okay? But let me just read it for the time being. She says, I read a post this morning by a man who said he came to eat his words out loud in public. He said 1 year ago, he wrote a post saying AI will not kill writing, because companies will always pay for good quality writing. It got a ton of views. Okay, now, as someone who sells a writing course and who writes for a living and who has a PhD in English and who's made my entire career as a man of letters, this opening paragraph is atrocious. It's atrocious. Can anybody in the chat explain, like, can we start to pick up on what is wrong here? Let's just try to, I'm going to give you a moment to see if you can see what is wrong. I will see if I can pull up Word. Let me see if I can pull up Word. Can you see that, chat? Can you see when I pull up Word? Can you see that? Okay, there's a lot of problems with this opening sentence, which is ironic because this is an article about writing. It's an article about written style. Okay, so how can we start improving this? The biggest problem is this. So one of the things I teach on the course is to try to stick to one idea per sentence, okay? One idea per sentence. However, the idea tends to cluster around a central verb, a doing action. Okay, so we process ideas through the actions. However, you can take this idea too far and have sentences that should actually be part of a larger compound sentence or a larger construction. Okay, so the final sentence there, it's got a ton of views. If you can see it, right? It's got a ton of views. I'm not convinced that that is strong enough an idea to stand on its own. The fact that it got a ton of views, is that a crucial bit of information that needs to stand on its own, an idea on its own, or is it simply an incidental or an additional piece of information about something that she's already talking about? Okay, so that's one problem, is that I don't like that sentence on its own. Another problem, okay? I read a post this morning by a man, okay, fair enough, who said he came to eat his words out loud. Well, the problem, and not just out loud, but in public. He came to eat his words out loud in public. So the word I'm looking for here is redundant. It's redundant. If you're using words, it's already implied in the idea of words that you're saying them out loud or that you're producing them in public. He's already posted in public, right? That is implicit in the idea of a post. So you don't need out loud and you don't need in public. So already these are two bits that she's got in there that you just don't need because it's already implied. I read a post this morning by a man who said he came to eat his words. Okay, we can stop it. I mean, I read a post this morning by a man who came to eat his words. Can we even make it even more elegant? Let's have a look. This morning, comma, I read a post by a man who came to eat his words. Is that better? This morning, I read a post by a man who later regretted it. Let's stick with that. We're getting to the idea quickly. He said 1 year ago, he wrote a post saying, so again, he said 1 year ago, so is the post that she read? This morning I read a post by a man who later regretted it. A year ago, he said, AI will not kill writing because companies will always pay for good quality writing. It got a ton of views. So let's just say it's a viral post, right? The ton of views. This morning I read a viral post by a man who later regretted it. Written a year ago, it said AI will not kill writing because companies will always pay for good quality writing. Okay, I don't like the repetition of writing. Can we avoid repeating writing? And chat, do you think that my stuff here is improving in this or not? Have we missed something? I feel like there may be two. I mean, one of the things we need to get right, and let's just go back to the original post a second. One of the things that we need to get right, and this can be difficult when you're dealing with bad writing, is are there... This, I read a post this morning by a man who said he came to eat his words out loud in public. He said 1 year ago, he wrote a post saying, right, okay, so right, let's get it right here. Let's get it right here, folks, because the post that she read is a different post from the one from a year ago. So I read a post by a man who regretted one he had written a year ago. Okay, let's just try that. It said, AI will not kill writing because companies will always pay for good quality writing. How can we improve this? How can we stop the repetition of writing, which is in itself not good quality writing? How can we? I'm going to go to the chat for suggestions. How about it said, companies will always pay for good quality writing, so AI will not kill it. Okay. Now that was a struggle, but do you agree in chat that this has, one, improved on the original, and two, that it gets to the same idea in fewer words? Are we happy, chat? Let's have a look to see if you're happier with mine, or do you want to stick with her original, or do you have any other ideas? Let's have a look. CJ's happy. People are happy. Okay, let's move on then. He said a year ago, so again, right, we've already established it's a year ago. We already established it's a year ago, so we don't need this. We don't need that. It's redundant. Again, redundancy. He assumed companies will always want good writing. Except he just lost his job to AI. So he's quitting writing and going back to programming. Let's just say that man has just lost his job to AI. So he's quitting writing and going back to programming. I don't think we've lost anything. Do you guys agree? I don't think we've lost anything in that change. He said he was wrong. Companies don't want good writing. They're fine with slop. He admitted he was wrong. Colon. Companies don't want good writing. Let's pick with the good quality writing. Same formulation as above. They're because they're fine with slop. Let's try that. Now, why have I added because when she did not have one? The reason for that is because a lot of the time I want the conjunction, which is because there, after the comma, because the two parts of the sentence relate to each other. And a lot of the time people in casual conversation omit the conjunction. But what we want to do is clarity. So there is a causal effect there, so it's better to write it in. AI and AI slop loves to take out conjunctions in that way. I've put it back in. Okay, let's have a look. That man just lost his job. So he's quitting writing and going back to programming. I don't like quitting. It sounds American. So he's giving up writing and going back to programming. We could say, I'm returning to programming. Giving up writing, returning to programming. Quitting just sounds a bit American to my ear. Quit. I don't like that. Quitting. He's giving up writing and returning to programming. He admitted he was wrong. Companies don't want good quality writing because they're fine with slop. Okay. It's starting to look better. It still might not be how I would write it if I was writing this article, but it's starting to look better. You're getting the idea of how to turn, you know, they talk about making chicken salad out of chicken shit. That's what the wrestlers used to say. We're starting to get something more readable, something written like it was something that looks like it was written by an intelligent human being rather than by a robot or somebody who's barely literate. Okay. And yeah, we could say don't value. That's a good suggestion from the chat. Companies don't value good writing because they're fine with slop. Now it's starting to look elegant. Now the prose is starting. We're polishing it up. We're polishing it up, and you can start to see your face in it. So, ironically, this is a very AI-like sentence. It isn't about AI. It's about calling it slop, and it's about human writing. This isn't about AI. This sentence here relates to this sentence here, which means that this full stop is problematic. Is this a real full stop? I would be more likely to say this isn't about AI, semicolon, it's about calling it slop, and it's about human writing, because this is not a true sentence. What she wants to say cannot stand on its own, right? If you take away that can't stand on its own because it refers to something previous. You can't have a sentence that stands like that. It's dangling, right? So making it two sentences where it should be one is a mistake here. Now, another issue is, what is this referring to? Is this referring to this man's post? This man's post, or this whole article, right? Or what is this about? What is the this? And this is something else that you need to bear in mind, right? This is a demonstrative adjective. It's referring to something, but that something has not actually been established. You know, vaguely, she's gesturing to this block of text up here. But I would be more minded to say this article is not about AI. It's about calling AI slop, calling it slop, and it's about human writing. Still doesn't make any sense at all. This article is not about AI. It's about calling what it generates slop, in inverted commas, and it's about human writing. Is that what she's trying to say? I still don't really know what this is about. I am minded to agree with somebody in the chat there who says this whole sentence needs to go. I'm going to put it there. When all said and done, we could just lose that because it's just faffing about, really. It's not really telling us anything. This is stronger. Slop was Merriam-Webster's word of the year last year. That's a good sentence. That's the first good sentence she's written. We'd want to put that around it. Okay, because we're talking about the word. And whenever you talk about the word, you need to put inverted commas around it. Every time they pick a word of the year, they explain who's they. Every time the compilers of the dictionary. Now, it may sound pedantic, right? It may sound pedantic to want to fill this in, but clarity. Who's they? Compilers of the dictionary. Pick a word of the year. They explain why they picked it. So they said, amid all the talk about AI threats, Slop set a tone that's less fearful and more mocking. Every time the compilers of the dictionary pick a word of the year, they explain why they picked it. So they said, amid all the talk about AI threats, Slop sets a tone that's less fearful and more mocking. Did they? I'm going to look that up. That doesn't sound true. I'm just going to look it up. Oh, yeah, they did. In 2025, amid all the talks about AI threats, Slop set a tone that's less fearful, more mocking. Vice Magazine. This phrase comes from Vice Magazine. Who is being quoted here? Human editors have chosen Slop as the 2025 word of the year, which is good because if AI had chosen it, it would have been an apparent conflict of interest. Although it is a conflict of interest to have human editors chosen anthropocentric words, I think I need to lie down, which is a classic symptom after too much exposure to Slop. At least Merriam-Webster took a hip shot at the word in its closing statement. In 2025, amid all the talk about AI threats, Slop set a tone that's less fearful, more mocking. The word sends a little message to AI. When it comes to replacing human creativity, sometimes you don't seem too super intelligent. Okay, all right. So they did say it. That's it, isn't it? How we use the word to mock AI. That's it, isn't it? That's how we use the word to mock AI. But it's a little deeper. It's about mocking the people using it too. Isn't it? Isn't it? Again. Like, we're the real writers, and they're just using AI, churning out Slop. Oh my goodness, what do I do with this? Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Every time compilers of the dictionary pick a word of the year, they explain why they picked it. So they said, let's just replace all of this crap with Merriam-Webster's editors said, commented, justified the choice by saying, I'm just trying to get a flavor of what she was trying to get at, right? The trouble there is that she didn't need to explain that the fucking compilers of the dictionary, you know, justify their choices. You can just say the Merriam-Webster editors justified the choice by saying, okay, and that therefore establishes that the compilers of the dictionary justify new words. Okay, so we've got there without needing to say it. Then that's it, isn't it? How we use the word to mock AI. But it's a little deeper. It's about mocking the people who use it too. Isn't it? Like, we're the real writers and they're just using AI, churning out slot. New paragraph for some reason. So we can roll our eyes at them and get on with our human writing. Dear gosh. This is getting tricky to fix. We're running out of time as well. Okay. So how do we fix this? If we are honest with ourselves, we not only mock AI, but also the people who use it. Something like this. For churning out slop. Use it for churning out slop, then we can justify to ourselves getting on with our human writing. I am not happy with this at all, but I'm just trying to eke out what is actually being said. If we're honest with ourselves, we not only mock AI, but also the people who use it for churning out slop. Then we can justify to ourselves getting on with our human writing. Then we can justify getting on with our human writing. Is that right? Is that better? Has my edit lost anything? If we're honest with ourselves, we not only mock AI, but also the people who use it for churning out slop. Then we can justify getting on with our human writing. Then we can justify getting on with our human writing. I don't really like it, to be honest. Then we can justify getting on with human writing. I don't really know. Okay, let's carry on. Merriam-Webster went on to say, in the 1700s, slop used to mean soft mud. Then it meant food waste like pig slop, and today it's a generalization for rubbish. for something that's not very good or has little to no value. And then, M-dash, the final blow. Okay. They said, when we use the word slop, it's like sending a little message to AI. But when it comes to replacing human creativity, it's not that intelligent. Not good. I'm really struggling to get what she's even saying now. Right, we're just going to go to the end of this bit, okay? Just going to go to the end of this bit. Merriam-Webster went on to say that in the 1700s, slop used to mean soft mud. Actually, not a bad sentence from her. Okay. Then, it meant food waste, like pig slop. Let's just say such as pig slop. A little bit less colloquial, and that's actually what we mean. Then, it meant food waste, such as pig slop. And today, we don't need and. Today, it's a generalization for rubbish. For something that's not very good or has little to no value. Just don't think you need any of this. Today, it's a generalization for something that has little or no value. And then, the final blow. Yeah, just wank. Just leave that cut. Finally, the final blow. Get on with it. Right, finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it's like sending a little message to AI, that when it comes to replacing human creativity, it's not that intelligent, not good. Oh my goodness, what do we do with this? This is painful. It really is terrible writing. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, when we use the word slop, it sends a signal to AI that when it comes to replacing human creativity, it's not that intelligent, not good. What's the not good? Is she saying that this is not a good thing? Or is she saying that the message being sent is not good? You see, then this is the problem when you just slap down a sentence that's not a sentence. Not good is not a sentence. It's just stuck out there. We don't know what it's referring to, so we're going to have to just delete that. All right, Linda? Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it sends a signal to AI that when it comes to replacing human creativity, it's not that intelligent. sends a signal to AI that it is not so intelligent that it can yet replace human creativity. Is that a nicer sentence? Do you agree, chat? This is nicer now. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it sends a signal to AI that it is not so intelligent that it can yet replace human creativity. That it is not yet so intelligent that it can replace human creativity. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it sends a signal to AI that it is not yet so intelligent that it can replace human creativity. There's two that's there. That's causing an issue. Let's just use a colon, see how that does it. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it sends a signal to AI. It is not yet so intelligent than it can replace human creativity. I still don't like it, but it's got to be better than what she wrote. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it is as if we are sending a signal to AI, which says, let's just do it this way. You are not yet so intelligent that you can replace human creativity. How's that? Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it is as if we are sending a signal to AI which says, you are not yet so intelligent that you can replace human creativity. Happy? I'm happy with that. I'm happier with this. I feel like it gets us to where the author was trying to go to originally. Also, I've just noticed there's a problem. We've got Merriam-Webster's editors here. Then we've just got Merriam-Webster. Then we've got they. So we're going to need the Merriam-Webster editors. Editors went on to say, so we don't have a conflict between the company name, the editors, and this they here. Okay, so let's carry on. All right, let's just do this last little bit, and then we'll wrap up. The problem with calling AI slop is that it creates a subconscious divide. Oh no, hold it. When I read that, I thought, wow. You thought it in those inverted commas. Don't we just love our moral high ground? When I read that, I thought, wow. Don't we just love our moral high ground? I reckon you can just sod all that and just write, wow, don't we just love our moral high ground? Something like this. Right, just don't need to. The fact that you read it and thought that then is less relevant than the fact that you're trying to say it, in my view. So I'll leave that there for the time being. The problem with calling AI slop is that it creates a subconscious divide that says AI is bad and therefore human is good. But the truth is, a lot of human writing isn't very good. Say that again, Linda. The problem with calling AI slop is that it creates a subconscious divide that says AI is bad and therefore human is good. But the truth is that a lot of human writing isn't very good. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. Well, you don't need to say it again then. What's the point of saying again? You've already established that it's true. You've just said the truth is that. So you don't need to say it's true. You don't need to apologize. You've already established it. Redundant. Every human writer has pieces they knocked out of the park and pieces that suck. Speak for yourself, Linda. All of my, I knock every piece out of the park because I know how to write. And you could too if you bought Foundations of Writing. I mean, seriously though, okay, every writer has pieces they knocked out of the park and pieces that suck. The ratio is the only issue. Okay. A skilled writer with years of experience might write 8 good pieces for every 2 that suck. A writer who hasn't worked on their skill set is likely the other way round. What's your ratio then, Linda? Because if anybody needs Foundations of Writing, it's you. I have been that person with 8 bad for every 2 good. Every writer has. Oh, Gordon Bennett. Again, it's just taking so long to say, to make. But the truth is, a lot of human writing isn't very good. Okay, let's just finish. I can't even bother. I cannot. We're out of time. I cannot even begin to just awful. Let's see what I've written here and see if it's acceptable at the very least. This morning, I read a post by a man who regretted one he had written a year ago. It said, companies will always pay for good quality writing, so AI will not kill it. That man has just lost his job to AI, so he's giving up writing and returning to programming. He admitted he was wrong. Companies don't value good writing because they're fine with slop. This article is not... All right, okay, let's just delete that. Slop was Merriam-Webster's word of the year last year. Merriam-Webster's editors justified the choice by saying, amid all the talk about AI threats, slop set a tone that's less fearful, more mocking. If we are honest with ourselves, we not only mock AI, but also the people who use it for churning out slop. Then we can justify getting on with quote-unquote human writing. The Merriam-Webster editors went on to say that in the 1700s, slop used to mean soft mud. Then it meant food waste such as pig slop. Today, it's a generalization for something that has little or no value. Finally, they said that when we use the word slop, it is as if we are sending a signal to AI which says, you are not yet so intelligent that you can replace human creativity. Wow, don't we just love our moral high ground? The problem with calling AI slop is that it creates a subconscious divide that says AI is bad and therefore human is good. But the truth is that a lot of human writing isn't very good. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have done my best to make it better. Probably if we worked on it for another hour, we could make it even better. okay, or I completely rewrite it in my own words, but you get some of the principles I'm looking for. You'll get some of the issues that arise with bad writing. If you want to learn how to do the very best writing, promo code COOL gets you 25% off all courses today. Pick up Foundations of Writing, the whole Trivium, the whole Mega Bundle. Buy it now, buy it now. Thank you for joining me. You've been a great chat. You've had some very, there were some very useful and intelligent suggestions in there as well. And if all goes well, maybe I'll do this again in a month with one of the other courses. We will see. And like I said, for those of you who had trouble, I might stick this, I might get the recording of this and stick it up on a, as a freebie on Foundations of Writing. Bye all. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.